Well, welcome to a Panthers pre-game and post-game podcast because we really are looking forward to a huge weekend in the league. But it strikes me it's the first time we've managed to get together after Panthers won the Continental Cup. We got together during it, of course, for some great little podcasts. But how busy everyone was on the ice after the game, so many interviews done, and of course, with me now, two of the guys who I'm surprised have got any voices left. Jono Bullard and Chris Gadsby. Evening to you both.
Evening.
Evening.
Let's go to Jono first of all. What a night, Jono. Well, what a
Oh,
week, but in particular, what a night.
just amazing. What a tournament. And I think you have to look at it overall of the whole week. It just went so well. All the games, all nine games were excellent. And it was just a great night to win that trophy, a brilliant performance. And yeah, Torpedo got a couple of goals at the end, but it didn't matter. That empty net went in. Crowd were absolutely fantastic. That game against Katowice will live with me for a long, 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 long time because the noise in the arena that night was absolutely incredible. From minute one to minute 60, it was just wonderful. I've not heard noise like that since the old stadium, and I think that semi-final game against Manchester, where there was noise all the way through, I don't think I've really experienced anything like that since then. Because I wasn't at the Burn game, as a disclaimer. As a disclaimer,
Well,
but
we
yeah,
talked about that the other day, me and you both.
we did. Yeah, it was incredibly, I think, overwhelming at times. I think because you were so proud of what the team did, you were so proud that we hosted it so well, and just great to get a trophy, and on a personal level for me, great to call a Panthers trophy win for the first time.
I was going to say, I know how special it is. So it's great that both of you have had chances to do it. I must actually throw something out there. Someone I think both me and you know, Jono, I feel like we were getting a bit of criticism on social media about the fact of noise in the arena and the comment that other blocks make noise. And I read that comment and I think it's a fair point, which I do want to address here. We do talk a lot about Block 19 and all of them in Block 19, and they were phenomenal. And they obviously led a lot of the chanting. But perhaps, we do need to talk about the other blocks because, 19, Ken and 19 worked together to spread the noise. But, we're well aware that other blocks are making noise, pockets of noise in different blocks around the arena. So maybe if it came across that we were just complimenting Block 19, it wasn't that. I just thought the way the noise went around the whole arena, especially in that Katowice game, the way that the whole arena responded, because we all
Oh.
listened to Katowice fans, they were outstanding throughout the tournament, and Panthers had to up their game. The supporters did, and they did. And like you said, Jono, probably one of the best atmospheres, if not better than from what we saw from afar in that Burn game. Chris, if I didn't go to the Burn game, did you go to the Burn game?
No, we hadn't started the BBC coverage
Well,
at
we
that
had. Well,
point.
you obviously hadn't.
Well, no, but
Yes,
yeah.
I thought that era was already you as well.
No, so I
Maybe it was
started
Owen
in
Bradley.
2019.
It must have been Owen Bradley.
Yeah, so I
I
just
think it
missed
was.
the Burn game. I think I was at university at the time.
There was a game. A couple of the CHL games where I did go to because I did a Facebook Live afterwards with Robert Lakovic and Sam Oakford on BBC Radio Nottingham. And I did one with Greener. I definitely did one with Greener in Zurich after the after the first leg of the 16. But there was
Yeah,
definitely.
I went to Zurich home and away, and I think I went to the Czech. What was the Czech team called? Czech team the
Mountfield.
Mountfield. Thank you.
Might
Yes,
have
I went to
been
the
that
Mountfield game.
game.
I didn't go to the Turku game, and I didn't go to the Burn game because I was
Yes.
working.
I feel like, although the fact that I ended up going to to Zurich. I wonder whether it was past Owen Bradley time. Who cares? No one listening will care. But no. So where my point was originally was yes, block 19 and all the other blocks, spread the love. And also, it kind of was nice. I mean, in that final game, Panthers were so in control at 3-0 up, and obviously, I wasn't nervous when the first goal went in. I'm not saying with hindsight now, I wasn't that nervous when the second one went in. I did think in my mind, oh, crumbs, can you imagine if this one goes against us? But it kind of, Chris, was lovely, wasn't it? That there was a moment. The playoff final weekend had the Mitch Fossier moment. Panthers were so good all weekend that they dominated. And obviously, it looked like the moment was going to be maybe a shutout, a final hooter moment, which was still special. But to kind of when Seed's goal goes in, there's no coming back from that. And that was a special moment to be able to witness.
Yeah, obviously I called that playoff final on Radio Nottingham, and I don't think for drama anything's ever going to match that playoff final. But yeah, I mean the only slightly annoying thing with those two late goals is I had a brilliant stat lined up that I then couldn't use. But it was yeah.
Me too.
But I mean, like you say, the first one went in and I wasn't worried. When the second one went in, a bit like you, I was thinking, oh crumb, like what? Surely this cannot go against Panthers here. And then as you said, when that empty netter went in from Z, I mean that was it then really, wasn't it? And with 11 seconds to go, you could kind of do a bit of an early call on the end of it. And it was just, as John has said, the whole week, I mean, to get an insight into what the European fans are like from teams on the continent. I know a lot of the teams have this kind of multi-sport kind of thing around it, don't as Katowice say, they've got football, they've got volleyball, they've got hockey. If you're interested, there's also a Katowice chess team. And it was just
I like to
brilliant.
see the fans at that.
Oh no, can you imagine? I mean, again, the crowd going through Nottingham, and I was saying to some of the Panthers TV guys, like, can you imagine an atmosphere like that at like Panther Steelers? Or something coming up, just the noise you could get there. And the players we spoke to, they absolutely loved it. And hopefully, some of the levels and what they could get from the team, Block 19 and the rest of the blocks in the arena will continue to make that much noise, because Continental Cup is great. Every single game now is probably as important as those as we head towards the final 10 weeks of the season.
Well, absolutely, Chris. I mean, we're going to have to go again and go again as soon as Saturday. We'll talk about that in a minute. But in terms of players of the tournament for the Panthers, there's a lot that stand out. I mean, Diederik Hembrandt was named as the whole tournament forward of the tournament at the IIHF. I thought he was outstanding. He literally was phenomenal, lights out every night. I think you could name a lot of players, couldn't you? I think if I mean I want you to throw each one of you to throw three names at me. It's tough on the goalies because neither one of them played all three games. So both of them played great. But I think if you're saying to me, I'm coming up now thinking, I'm saying if you're saying to me, but I'm saying to you, and I'm going to start. I think Diederik Hembrandt, Nolan Volkan, and Z Garrett, that they probably would be my three. Jono, throw in a different three or kind of alternate mine if you want to give your three.
Vulcan, I'd have to agree with. I thought he was outstanding all three games, and the two assists in the final were just fantastic, especially the assists for Brian Leimos's goal.
One when he's slightly falling as he gets that puck across.
Well, he knows he's going to get hit. He
Yeah.
knows he's going to get cleaned out by the defenseman, but he's still committed to the pass because he knows that Lemos is completely on his own, and it was a lovely finish from Lemos. So I'm going to have to go Volkan as well. I think Jakob Stridsberg was
Yeah.
fantastic in defence all throughout the entire tournament. And then another forward, I think Chase Pearson. Although he only got a couple of assists, I think the work he did, the way he battled to get hold of the puck, the turnovers he created,
Especially in the first game, he was lights out of a memory.
it is His forechecking was just sensational. So it would have to be Chase Pearson, Nolan Vulcan, and Jakob Stridsberg for me.
Where are you going, TSGG?
I'm going to start with a Brit. I thought that Kels had a phenomenal week,
Great call. Great call.
and it's just, I mean, he really seemed to step it up a level. Another one that really jumped out to me, Matafaro, just coming in with, I mean, every single time the puck got dumped in deep, he seemed to win the race to it. And I think the speed of him and the amount that he was able to, when it seemed like Panthers had lost the puck, the way he was able to just keep battling and the amount of times that they won it back in the offensive zone through him and others. And then Jono, I saw you mention it on socials just as a whole, but Brian Lemieux, particularly in that face-off circle, in that final game, yes, but in the entire tournament as well, he took 43 face-offs and he won 39 out of 43 of them.
And
He won 90% of the face-off, which is
that's
ridiculous
a
over the
ridiculous
course
stat.
of three games.
Yeah. I think you make a great call on Jordan Kelso. He is having a great stretch. I think you're right about the tournament. But you know the couple of goals he's got. I mean, the thing is with Kels, he never lets you down night in, night out. Just like Ollie, just like Finney Ulrich. You know, excuse me. You know that forward line, whether they're put together or whether Danny has to spot them in different places, which he sometimes does. I just think you know they're great, and that depth that we have is outstanding. I mean. Right now, you know, I think we all talked about Nolan Vulcan being a great replacement. That was our conversations probably a few weeks ago. If and this is a really thing I'm going to say here, if everybody was fit right now, all Panthers players, I'd want to find a way to get Nolan into my team, but I don't know
Agreed.
how I do that. When you look at the players in form. Now, obviously, there's one or two knocks, so he may well be in the team for a short while yet. But, you know, I think his performances, especially in the past month, warrant him a starting lineup. But you look down our roster, I don't think either of you will be able to say X or Y player he could replace. Jono,
No,
I mean, you
no,
can't, can you?
no, no. It's a really difficult one, but I think you have to look at the way he's since he got back into the team against Fife way back in the Scottish trip in December. He's just stepped up his game, stepped up a level. And I think he got his reward in this tournament because he got his reward in points, and the way he was playing, the way he was battling, and he's been doing that ever since he came back into the team, but now he's starting to get some points on the board as well. It's a really tough decision for Danny once everybody's fit. Really is a decision that I wouldn't like to make whatsoever.
And what about the defence, Chris? I mean, you know, we now have an extra non-British trained defenceman. The coaching staff have went with the same defensive lineup three games in a row, off the top of my head. I think I'm pretty sure did pretty
Yeah,
sure.
because it was the netminders obviously changed, and then for the
Yeah.
final, Johnny Curran came in.
Yes. So again, you know, Jared Hilderman has had a, you know, I think we all said that he'd started a bit slower, but I think he's been solid, very dependable. Again, he's, you know, how again the coaching staff have got a decision to make there, but it's a good decision, I guess, for them to be in, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly better than trying to run around and go, oh, who's going to fill these six slots? But yeah, I mean, I suppose the good thing from a Panthers point of view is I think it's much easier to, and I've not been in this situation, but I think as a player, it's probably much easier to have to sit time out when the team is winning week in, week out. And the atmosphere in the dressing room is as good as it will be in the Panthers dressing room at the moment. And you look at Panthers goals against average of under 2.5 in the league, and it's right up there. And I think defensively they've been solid. Of course, they've got terrific netminding duo between Kevin and Jason. But I think it's really hard at the minute for Danny to mess up the defensive pairings because they are working so well together. I mean, you take a look at the tournament against some really solid teams from across Europe, and it's two shutouts and the two goals right at the end, one being an extra attacker. So yeah, it's really I think difficult at the minute for them to make changes.
Yeah, I mean Cooper Zek missed a few, didn't he? And he's come, and I think since Cooper's come back, he too has been absolutely outstanding. So it's a good position for Danny to be in. And I guess the key here, and welcome Greener, how are you?
Evening, everybody. Sorry, I'm a bit late.
That's okay. That's okay, not a problem. And we're talking about, and I want your insight again as a player on how players can react or otherwise. I guess players could sulk, and I'm sure players in the past have sulked. There's no evidence that any of these Panthers players are sulking. You look at their reactions when after, we see them sometimes downstairs straight after a game. They'll come down from the boxes or wherever they've watched the game, straight away integrate with their teammates, and you can see how delighted they were and are for their teammates, again, the guys that have not played. But Greener, we're talking things like Nolan Vulcan's been exceptional. And I'm saying that if everybody was fit right now, I would like to see a way to get Vulcan in my team. But I don't know how because, I can't name you one of the import forwards I'd like him to replace. So that shows the position we're in. But how key is it, I guess, to have players in your lineup when they're not playing? How decisive can it be? Because if they sit around and sulk, it can make for a bad atmosphere. But as I can see, as it looks like from these Panthers players who are missing out right now, they're right behind their teammates. And I wonder how important it is to have those guys, even though they're not playing fully on side.
Yeah, it's huge. I think the good thing at the moment is it seems like everybody's really hungry to play. The guys that aren't playing probably want to come back in, and they really don't want to miss a game. But I think the good thing for us is because we're kind of pretty much winning every game, Danny Stewart's kind of proving them right. You can't argue that you should be playing when your team's winning pretty much every game. And I think, yeah, there's such a good atmosphere and camaraderie. If someone's left out, they understand the reason why they're being left out for obviously another top player, and they will get their chance. I think you can see that game in and game out with obviously our two goalies. Both of our goalies would probably be the number one on pretty much every other team playing almost every single game, but they know that in order to play on this team, they're not going to play every game, but they know they're going to play every other game. And the reason they're not playing is because there's another very good goalie playing. So, I think as long as Danny's, and I'm sure he is, very open and honest with all the guys, and he gives them plenty of notice, and there's obviously a little bit of rotation and stuff, then because we're winning, I don't really think guys can argue. If players weren't playing well and you're out the lineup, you're a little bit sour that you think you should be. But as I just caught the end of you guys saying there, someone like Nolan Vulcan, he's playing so well, he doesn't really deserve to be left out. But when Mitch Fossier is back, whenever that is, someone's going to have to make way for him. But I just think there's such a good camaraderie, and I think everybody just wants to be a part of it. And I think with so many games with Europe, with the Challenge Cup, everybody's probably going to miss a few games, but they're still going to play so many big games. And yeah, it's just a luxury that Danny has at the moment.
It's like the lines as well, isn't it? Like Ross Armour was a staple diet on that third line, and because of the injury to Mitch, he's found himself on the first line, and really settled in recent weeks. And the trio there of Timmy and Alfie and him, they look menacing. And again, when everyone's fully fit, what happens there? How does he slot around these lines? It's a fascinating jigsaw, but it's obviously one that Danny, I guess, is, it's probably happy to have. Those conversations, I never know how hard or easy they are. But as I said before, it seems that these players are taking the decisions well and not sulking. Greener, we were talking just before you arrived about our top three players of the tournament, and I'm not really going to hint. Well, you've probably heard some names, but you know, if I, you know, I'm asking you now to kind of give us your three standouts from the tournament, from the week, who would they be?
I mean, I think Kevin Kasch, I mean, it's kind of hard, obviously, with the goalies because not one goalie played every game. But I mean, you know, barring those, you know, that last minute, you could argue that Kasi could have got, you know, basically gone the whole tournament and not let a goal in. So, you know, he was obviously excellent. I thought, you know, I think Matt Spencer's probably our most unsung player. I think he probably doesn't get that much love because we have so many superstars. But I just think, like, game in, game out, I don't think I've seen him put a foot wrong in, you know, a year and a half. And I think he was rewarded with that goal in the final, which was really good. I thought Chase Pearson was awesome. You know, again, not maybe tons of points, but me and Jono commented, you know, his line with Tim and Armour, like every time they were on the ice, they just ran riot, basically. Yeah, so there's a few I'm trying to think of. I mean, I thought, to be honest, our, if you want to call them our fourth line, especially in the final, they played a lot of minutes together, those three, Ollie, Kels, and Finn. And they had some really, really good shifts in that final. So, you know, I'm not picking a player there, I'm picking a whole line. But, you know, it's a line that maybe doesn't get the minutes normally. But because of it was a basically like a 3-3, they played a lot. And I thought they were really effective in that final game. So, yeah, I'll definitely give those three a shout out as well.
Yeah, so there you go. We've kind of between us probably listed out nine players there, which was absolutely fascinating. You know what?
Chris, is this someone else I can give some props
Come
to?
on, we should really go through the whole team at this rate, but yeah, go on,
Well, yeah,
Dan.
but no, I'm just thinking, I want to give a lot of credit to Linton because I don't think he actually left the arena
No.
for the whole tour. I think he slept there, and obviously a lot of because of his role, a lot of the work that he does goes unseen, but he does so much work behind the scenes doing prep, looking at other teams, getting players ready, doing video stuff, and such a load of hard work that's really essential, but probably doesn't really get noticed because it's all in the background. And I think him and Danny did an amazing job getting the team set up for teams that we don't really know and not really seen much before. And the way that we came out and really negated the threats that they had, I think that they deserve an awful lot of credit.
Here, here,
What
great
I want to
call.
know is who gave Linton the subtle signal to move out the way at the right time for Danny's ice bucket, because he must have seen something, because he literally just casually just sauntered two steps to the side as they were about to do it.
Yeah, I didn't even look. He didn't even look around.
No.
There's a great frozen shot, isn't there, where he's almost giving it the side eye, isn't there? Like one of the pictures from, and I mean, you know, so again, while we're talking of like accolades, you know, Panthers images of Adam, of
Oh,
Carl
God,
and
yeah.
Josh, you know, the weekend. To you know, the three of them that they, you know, because they were all there all week, the different angles that they were able to capture, it's amazing how photos can bring something to life. And you know, we pumped as many out, you know, during the tournament. Probably noticed loads of them went out, you know, on the night, the day after we won as well. But yeah, like it was interesting. I think he just probably had a sixth sense. He knew it was coming. Danny knew it was coming, didn't he? So.
Yeah, but I mean, it's building off what you've said there with Linton and stuff. I mean, and Panthers images, the unsung heroes. I mean, we've got to say a word about Ken, Steph, D, everybody else, you know, Omar and Goody as well, to be able to all the work behind the scenes putting that tournament on.
Yeah, I mean, we're gonna have to stop and say everyone because we'll upset someone by
Well,
not
we are,
mentioning.
yeah.
So literally, we'll say everyone. But no, I mean seriously though, you do make a fair point. A lot of effort went into putting that tournament on, and whether it being led by Omar and Adam and all the office staff, and then you mentioned the off ice staff who covered nine games. You know, and so on, like the volunteers who sell the tickets, and Omar made good reference to that, definitely in my interview that I did with him on the ice after the game, and I think that's a point that we can spend a lot of time talking about the team, and rightly so, but the actual thing is with this one, it was a tournament, and Omar and I actually spoke maybe the day afterwards about how the feeling was different to playoffs. Obviously, playoffs was a tournament that the Panthers didn't organize. Obviously, it was in our rink, but the Elite League as a whole organized that tournament between, and some staff put in a lot of long hours for that. But to actually host a tournament and win it as well was a very satisfactory feeling. The IIHF, who obviously kind of, yes, they run the tournament, but the Panthers ran it on their behalf with their rules and their stipulations. That's why, the actual match night sort of format was slightly different. Yes, still the video was played a bit earlier because lights need to be up. These are things that people perhaps don't know. Lights have to be up and full lights have to be up at a certain time. The away team have to come on at the ice. I think it's at 2:45 remaining on the clock, and the home team at 2:15. Can't remember. I should remember because I've been used to them with the World Championships. But there are strict times when the officials come onto the ice, the home team and the away team, and the IIHF has a big mandate, a long kind of with the clock saying 60 minutes to go, 40 minutes to go. And so yeah, that's why it felt many aspects of a Panthers home game, but not quite like a Panthers home game because of those IIHF regulations. But I'm led to believe the IIHF were very happy. And what a turnout as well. Three games in 4 nights to get, I mean, what was the figure? Over 37,000 fans at all games. If you add all the total attendances together, that really is some going. And it really was a week to be proud. So on to Guildford. I'll come to you first, Greener. What's it like as a player? You're on such a high. You've won that tournament. I'm not trying to say you got to come down now because it's a huge game, because we've got a huge back-to-back weekend now because this team is focused on winning more trophies. But what is it like you were doing this with Panthers in the mid-2010s, to win a trophy and then have to refocus and get back to business?
It is a big come down. I know obviously it's not really coming down because probably winning the league is more important, but you do have that massive high, and like you mentioned, the playoffs. Normally when you win the playoffs, that's like the last game of the season. But we won that trophy, and we've still got 25 more games probably. So that really is the job of Danny and the leadership group, and especially probably the homegrown players, to kind of be like, have your 2 or 3 days of relaxing and enjoying it, and then it's literally just back to work and trying to get guys back up. I mean, luckily we didn't play tonight, any sort of midweek game, because I think when we won it in Italy on the Sunday, I'm pretty sure we had to come back and play on the Wednesday. And I remember a few times when we won like the Challenge Cup on the Sunday, and then we had a Wednesday game. And it is hard because to get back up. But I think with us being in such a good position in the league, it's easy to get back up for, if we were kind of, fourth in the table and 10 points back, you're kind of like, oh, what are we getting up for here, really? But the fact we're right up there at the top, it gives you a lot more motivation. But no, it is. It's, going back to that, standard Saturday, Sunday Elite League style, different type of game. It will be a little bit of a challenge, but I think the good thing is they're going to have all week to rest and prepare. So I don't really see it being an issue at all, but there will definitely probably be a little bit of a hang, just kind of maybe that first period Saturday, getting back into the swing of things. But I think because Danny's so experienced and this group so experienced, I don't really see it being a problem, if I'm honest.
Jono, it just feels there is no nights off between now and the end of the season. You look at how close the league is. As we record this, all our eyes are on Guildford Belfast, praying that Guildford do us a favour. It's 1-1 as they start the third period there. Then, of course, we want Guildford to not be so good at the weekend when they face us. But it really does feel like you just can't. And yes, you can lose a game and recover. We've lost a couple over Christmas, and we're still in a very strong position. If the results go as for tonight, we'd have a games in hand to go back to the top of the table. But it really does feel, and I think Danny said this a while, it's a cliche, but he said this a while ago, but he's spot on. Players have said this too. Every game's going to feel like a playoff game, especially at home with the big crowds. I think it's going to be that type of feeling night in, night out now, don't you?
Yeah, very much so. Because I mean, Danny was very clear in his post-match interviews on Saturday. You know, there's three more trophies to go for. So there's no way that this team will be taking a night off at all. And we've got two more very important games coming up, and every game now is massive because you're coming into the sort of the business end of the season. You're fighting for a title. You're fighting for a Challenge Cup. You'll be fighting for the playoffs at the end. Yeah, every game is absolutely huge. And the way that Danny is and the way that Danny's got the team set up, no, they won't be taking any nights off whatsoever.
I don't know why I'm asking you this question. Is it a three-horse race now?
No, I
Really?
still think no. Sheffield have had a really bad run, and you
Yeah.
know, yay, hey, but you
I
know,
thought it would be an
they're
emphatic yes, and I was going to argue with
no,
you and.
no, they're only 6 points behind. No, maybe if this run continues for probably another four, five, six games, then maybe yes, but at the moment, no.
Yeah, I mean, I think their fan base feel like it is, and I understand why, because they're in the midst of a terrible run, but they've got a quality roster, and you know, who knows which one of the teams above them at the moment might go on a similarly bad run. You just don't know.
No.
So you know, I did think you have a big glee there and say,
Oh, I mean that
yeah.
I'm not unhappy about the run they're currently on, but they will come back. They always do.
Chris, is he right? Is this a four horse race? Manchester have the games in hand to push Sheffield at the moment for that fourth spot. So, you know, is he right? Are there three front runners and Sheffield as a fourth? How do you see it?
No, I still very much think it's four, and yeah, I don't think it's going to happen with this team, as Greener says. But the last time that, sorry, as John has said, but the last time Panthers won the Continental Cup, they then only won two out of the next 10, and it's very easy for a team to go on a bit of a difficult run. And I think you look at, I was doing this yesterday, you look at the games left, Panthers still got four against Belfast, four against Cardiff, two against Sheffield. That's more against the other big three than anybody else. Then Panthers have still got four against Manchester. Nobody else has got more than two. And then the teams towards the bottom, Panthers two against Coventry, one against Fife, two against Dundee. But like Belfast have got four Coventry. Like, okay, teams towards the bottom, it doesn't mean anything, but Panthers have got much more games to play against the teams at the top and in the middle than the other teams of the big four chasing. So it's by far and away not a done thing.
No, really interesting. I mean, I'm just looking at this table now. Sheffield are 6 points behind Belfast, but only have a game in hand. But that, so two in hand, that will be a game in hand tonight, and it could still be 6 points. But you know, it's 1-1, and they've just started the second period, the third period there. And yeah, like we've seen teams, I mean, Jono, we're not even going to go into this, but Sheffield once eroded a huge Panthers lead, didn't they, 1 year, Jono? What was it, 15 points or something?
Yep.
1990, I can't
90,
remember.
94, 95. Yeah. Yeah. I've tried to erase that
Yeah,
one from my
but
memory. It
that
wasn't
was
pleasant.
something like 14, 15 points at Christmas or
50. I think it
something.
was 15 points at one point. Yeah, and they drew it back, and then won it right at the end.
Well, let's not talk about that one. But you know, and it's a different league. It was a different era then, and you know, absolutely. But teams can make ground. Wasn't it 1 year that was it Cardiff made up loads of ground on Belfast, or Belfast on Cardiff? That
Yeah,
it,
11 points.
yeah,
11 points. Yeah.
yeah. So it does show, you know, that it can be done, guys. It was great chatting to you. It was wonderful as ever. Thanks for joining us on this Panthers podcast. We will be with you on Saturday as we speak now. Just a few hundred tickets remaining. If you've not got them, make sure you get to the Motorpoint Arena as we face Guildford. But for now, thanks for joining us.